Well, hello there. Welcome to the Weekend Update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Saturday and happy St. Paddy's Day a little bit early, unless you're listening to the show on St. Paddy's Day. And then to all of you, happy St. Paddy's Day. Be wet in the green.
You know, the biggest, one of the biggest parades in the United States, St. Patrick's Day Parade, is in Pittsburgh. And I went into the city last night, into Pittsburgh last night, to drop somebody off. I mean, you should have seen the traffic in Pittsburgh. You know, usually it's not like New York where it's awake all hours, right? It usually gets a little quieter in the evening in Pittsburgh, but last night it was bustling, you know. I guess people just getting ready for the celebration. I don't know what the celebration, what are they celebrating? St. Patrick's Day. What, I mean, right. Are they celebrating the fact that St. Patrick got rid of the snakes in Ireland? I mean, I don't know.
I was at the dentist office yesterday, and there was a thing they had, CBN on, which I was kind of, you know, looking at it going, boy, this isn't the CBN of the past, but there is, you know, I Am Patrick. There's, I guess, a movie out about St. Patrick and his where he was, you know, dealing with himself and his Christian faith and all of that. But they explain it in that movie, you know, in the book, too, I guess, you know, what it's all about. So I Am St. Patrick is probably something, if you want to understand, is something that you probably should read what it was. I haven't read it. Obviously, the movie is limited, like the 17th and 18th. It's out, and that's it. But, you know, I'm not a historian for the most part. I don't, you know, there are things that, you know, that I look into, and you know, I don't.
I don't know whether he got rid of the snakes. I mean, that's the legend, you know, supposedly.
Well, he went to Washington.
Well, you know, I also heard that he came from France to Ireland. But then I read yesterday that he grew up in England and went to Ireland. And I'm thinking, does anybody know anything about this guy?
I mean, sounds like a Chicago song. Does anybody really know what time it is?
It does indeed, yes. Speaking of strange things happening, a judge made a decision. McAfee made a decision in Georgia, in Atlanta yesterday, about Fannie Willis. You know, she's particular, Fannie Willis. And Bill, what he said was, you, Fannie, can stay in, but Wade has to go, or Wade can stay in as the prosecutor and you have to go, but you both can't stay in this case, because he said you've done something that's wrong. There's been improprieties here.
But they both should go, because if one did something wrong, the other did something
that's
wrong.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah, that does open up a can of worms down the road, but, and I have thoughts on that, you know, later on in the show if we have time, because I don't think.
We talked about, you've heard of the fruit of the poisonous tree. That's where if a prosecutor has done something wrong and he keeps prosecuting and keeps getting decisions based upon that faulty evidence, those decisions can't stand up. All of the decisions and judgments based upon that prosecutor and his faulty evidence, it's going to be thrown out. And this judge knowingly let one of the people that he said the duo is at fault. The duo has done improper things, but he's only telling one of them to leave. And I heard a legal expert say, no, that can't stand when somebody's going to go into that courtroom next time there's a trial and say, hey, listen, you know, you in court, you have acknowledged the fact that both Fannie Willis and her lover Wade were doing improper things, and you're letting one of them stay in, which means you're letting one of those people who were doing those improper things continue on with the case, and the whole case can't stand, you know?
I'm writing down one thing because I have a thought on that, but I want to say something else first. I wrote it down so that my memory wouldn't fail me. But
you have a sharp memory.
Number one, Wade resigned right away.
Yes.
So I kind of think that they knew this was coming down. It was pre-rehearsed. I wonder if the whole trial was a sham. So because he threw out, a total of 9 of the things, 3 and 6, but he said they could be brought back if they were rewritten and represented a little more substance to it. So he told them what to do. And I'm wondering if the whole thing was a sham from the beginning, because when you look back when it started,
She wasn't supposed to testify, and she wasn't supposed to be hearing the case, but she was sitting back there in, you know, in the office
with
a private feed, which is illegal as all get out, as all Hades. And she did it anyway. And then she came storming in, and I'm going, and everyone said, oh, boy, this is great. This is soap opera, which is going to lead to something else that I had a thought on. But,
you know, you said that when it happened. I remember I think we were on the phone when she came back in, and you said, this looks staged. You know?
Yeah, well, it's all because of personal belief of mine. And in a nutshell, instead of going into a long diatribe, I think we're all players, unwilling actors, or audience in a big stage show put on for our distraction and our entertainment, while the real what's going on is behind the curtain that we're not supposed to know and pay attention to. In other words, I'm saying everything out there in politics and government, in my mind, is pretty much a sham. Now, I'm not saying Trump is a sham. He's probably one of the unwilling participants like us. But then you look at people like, a Buck in the Congress that's resigning because of the Biden investigation. Well, it's not going right. I'm just tired of the he is a Democrat in Republican clothes. You know, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans, a lot of them are sheep. So I'm just saying there are... You know, that the democracy is not what you and I believe. We might be thinking that we're on the side of the good, the white hats and the black hats. They're all black hats for the most part.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because there are things that strike me as being strange, even from Trump. And I'm a Trump supporter. I think people who listen to this show.
How is he withstanding all of this? Even though it's fake, how is he standing up?
Well,
to
that's
it?
That's one of the things. But, you know. I don't know whether you are on his mailing list or not.
Yes, I am.
But you'll notice that when something happens, like a bad decision comes down.
Within seconds,
there'll be an email about what you can buy to support me and help me fight. And I'll send you a new picture of my mugshot. He has something out now. I noticed it today. He's trying to, his people are trying to sell, another mugshot of from his Atlanta, the Atlanta mugshot. I guess it's some kind of an artist rendering of it. And I'm thinking, wait a second. Don't commercialize all this crap right now. We're in the middle of a swamp here. We're fighting for our lives. And nothing's more distasteful than to have this crud thrown at you in the middle of it, Bill.
In all of this, you know, when we started doing this thing, I ended up, you know, obviously on the Republican list where I get every email in the world, every senator, every congressman goes, friend. Well, number one, I might be of the same party, but I'm not your friend. But I get the same thing from Adam Schiff and the whole litany.
Oh, do
of
you?
Them.
You get them
and
from Democrats.
They all do the same thing, and when something bad goes for them, they go, we got to fight. We are down to the wire. It is the same language. It's like it's the same marketing department. Okay, this one goes to the blue door. This one goes to the red door. And then send them out right away. And why I say it's a show.
Well,
you know,
is it Trump doing this himself, or is it a bunch of people in a back room who think they can cleverly market the guy?
You know? I think they're cleverly marketing, and I think just because Laura Trump is in there doesn't mean that that machine hasn't stopped, and it doesn't mean that they take over the RNC and change things that the back office, the real powers that play, the Soros-funded and all of that, and even that, I think he's funding this, but he could be calling the whole shot on both sides. And, you know, there's a third wheel here that we're not seeing. And
all right, I got a question for you, Bill. There's only, in my opinion, you can only do this so long. People are waking up. And I think you don't think they are?
I think, look at the news and the spin and the negative memes and the propaganda and everything. For instance, there is a stupid meme, and if you're a Republican, you've seen it out there from your little liberal friends. Think about this now. The thing that you have a camouflage pair of bikini bottoms, and both Trump and Putin are in an inflatable pool, and they're both fat and naked, except for Trump having the, you know, the one thing on, and he's got an orange face. That meme came out on the day of a certain narrative that was out there by the left. And then all of a sudden, every sycophant Democrat, you know, when I woke up in the morning, they all posted that. Oh, look at this, you know, which means they got it from one central location.
Yeah, of course.
And that's it. It is propaganda. Well, the news has always done that. And the newspapers have always done that. So, you know, I'm wondering if we haven't all along had, you know, a puppet show put on for us. And there's a puppeteer pulling all the strings to all the puppets that we see.
All right, so what's the solution?
Well, you know, I mentioned it yesterday to you privately.
Yeah.
That if somebody goes in, the swamp is deep. It's infested.
Oh, it right? is. I know. I agree. 100%.
So you almost have to do like Brasilia, which you mentioned. You know, say, DC's done. By the way, if it were me going in,
yeah,
I would look at every federal employee from every office, and I would put together, I would hone down the government to the shell operations, all right, the necessities, with vetted people on the front end. And then I would sit there and say, yeah, I don't care that you're a civilian employee or not, you know, you were appointed or hired by so-and-so. Here's your pink slip. You've got 6 weeks or whatever, 90 days employment. Hey, I wish you good luck. Yeah, you can reapply for a job, but yeah, you're going to have to go through the same vetting as everyone else. By the way, no one's going to be hired until we build a new White House. We can preserve the history and the symbolicness of it, but the simple fact is, move it. Just move it. Get out of the swamp. Get out of the District of Columbia. It's infested. Move it somewhere else. It can be a blue state. It can be a red state. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'll bet you that in government, if an agency has 10,000 employees, it probably can function with 1,000. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we are
build the whole system from ground
up. Streamline it. We have computers now. Use those computers to make it a more functional and by the way, if they do that, it will run more efficiently, faster. There won't be all the snafus. Right now, we have too many hands yeah, in government.
If you have the computers there to be an aide and run it, and then the people that work there are your customer support. In other words, mm-hmm, they're there to answer and work at the behest of the people, instead of carrying out missions from the puppeteers above.
Along the same lines with our taxes, it should be a postcard. I mean, for years, I can remember my dad saying that. Our taxes should be on a postcard. Simple. You can either have a flat tax where you say, okay, 10%, hypothetically, 10% of all your income you pay in taxes, or 8% or 5% or whatever. And it's a simple thing to figure out. What, yeah, if you make $100,000, 10%, $10,000 to the government, and have a good day? Or you don't have any income tax at all, and you have a value-added tax, a VAT tax. Go ahead.
But I would also say, you know, you've got to hope that incomes will go up. And as incomes go up, you know, I would sit there and say, look, the government can never go beyond spending a certain percentage. That's it. And if they do have to, it's in a special time and it's for a limited time and it can't be rescinded. So in other words, if you're making $100 and your tax is 5%, flat tax, that's all you're ever going to owe. Now, if you make $200, you'll owe $10. So the government's kick went up, your kick went up. Hey, it's a great thing. But no. You know, they can't do that. They're greedy because they got all their pork barrel. And see, that's the other thing. Somebody introduces a legislation, it stands alone. Nothing's added to it.
That's I absolutely agree. What a lot of Americans don't realize is that when there's a bill out there that's introduced, let's say about fixing the roads, you want to fix all the roads. You want $20 billion to fix all of our highway system. Well, you may hear every Republican say, oh, we agree with that 100%, but then they start adding crap to it. some stuff that doesn't mean a thing about roads. Some things that are, you know, about naming a post office in their district or some ridiculous thing. Before you know it, it is, it's that, you still have that bill, but it's like a Christmas tree of peripheral nonsense that has been attached to that bill. And this is the problem with, one of the problems with our government. And this goes back to the Swamp Bill. We got to, if you have a bill, it should be specific and nothing can be added to it.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah. We deviated a little bit off the fanny
thing. But that's okay, because this is a Saturday show, and I think what you said is true.
Yeah, and I do want to dot one I and cross one T in the Fannie Wade case. The judge, you know, he covered his own rear end, number one, because he's up for election and he's trying to appease people. He probably did make the fruit of the vine trap there, but because things are going to happen. But Wade really quickly resigned. And you know darn good and well, before the trial, you know, Wade was getting money that she inappropriately got and gave to him. There was bedroom talk then. Do you think that bedroom talk is going to go away?
Absolutely
not. Do you think
not.
That she's not going to find the money again illegally and take it there and give it to him out of, she'll put it in her purse so that she can take it out and say, oh, it came out of my own money.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. And give it to him. So it continues. Now, they say that there are some, you know, some vital mistakes in that. I hope to see them. But again, I also keep in mind, welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. Gather round. You know, it's just.
Yeah, they like you said, quickly the decision was made. Wade was going to leave. But there will be bedroom talk. And there will be, I was thinking, might she pay him as a consultant? Maybe pay his law firm and not him specifically. There's going to be.
It's still going to be there.
That's
and
it.
She gets to reintroduce those cases.
And these are prideful people, Bill. They think that their nonsense it doesn't stink. And they're going to show it. They're going to show us. That's why Fannie Willis, I heard an expert say, the smart thing on her part would be to resign also, because this case is tainted. Whether she knows it or not, the case is tainted. But she's not smart. She is prideful. She thinks she is above it all. And with this decision, she thinks it was some kind of vindication for her. And she is going to continue doing what she's doing. And it's sad because, we have to, President Trump is still going to have to get involved with it. There's still going to probably be a case here. It should have been thrown out. The whole thing should have been thrown out. This judge, by the way, was appointed by Governor Kemp, the rhino governor of Georgia, to fill this position. But subsequent renewals have to be elections. He has to be reelected. Even though he was appointed initially, he has to be reelected. This is a.
And Fannie's up for election again too.
Yeah, so he's up for election now, and he doesn't want to mess up his chances of getting reelected. So this decision was, he knows what he should have done. By the way, you can tell his decision was enough to say, "Well, I know what I should be doing, but I can't do that because it's going to affect me." See, that's the problem with these guys. We don't have any more patriots anymore in government, or in the judicial system.
Sometimes you got to put it on the line. Damn the results of it. You know, if it takes me down, it takes me down.
But we don't have, Bill, this. I often wondered how many of the people who are on the political stage today would have had the courage to do what our founders did, you know, during the Revolutionary War. I mean, risk it all and in some cases lose everything for the sake of an idea. I mean, they did stuff.
What happened to the founders of the country? A lot of them were persecuted. I mean,
some people lost fortunes. There were some of the guys who signed the Declaration of Independence. These people were rich going into the Continental Congress, and they were broke coming out. They had nothing. All of their properties had been confiscated or destroyed.
They were demonized, criminalized, locked up, and And what is going on now? So it's persecution. So it gets back to the white hats and the black hats. Well, the only difference is they're red hats and they're blue hats. I find the whole thing very, very stinkingly interesting. Let's put it
that way. Yeah, I think that the case in New York with Alvin Bragg was postponed for about, they say, 30 days. The judge said mid-April he's going to look at it now. They were supposed to start like this week.
Timing, nothing more than timing.
But, you know, they move everything closer and closer to the election. Is that not election interference?
Well, sure it is. Now, you look at the polls from what just happened. Now, of course, it was on MSNBC that Biden pulled ahead of Trump. Biden's at 39, Trump is at 38%. That's their poll, of course, that they did with a statistical difference of 1.8%, which means Biden could be a little bit more ahead or could be that much behind, and Trump way ahead. So it doesn't, but then there's the poll taken by an independent group looking at the electoral vote.
I have that right here.
If the election were held today, Trump is way, way ahead in the electoral count.
312 to 226.
I mean, that's a walloping, you know?
Yep.
And but I see what's going on here. They're trying to gather up things. They're trying to shore things up. The stories now, you know, the investigation against Biden is going away. Nothing found. He's, you know, it's almost like, you know, well, they're saying that he did nothing wrong. He's great, you know, and he could do no wrong. I mean, you know, Nikki got it right, just the wrong guy.
You know what you
kissing,
said?
Kissing the ring. Biden is the one holding his hand out. Kiss my ring. I'm the almighty Biden.
What you said earlier about are we just watching a show and we're just an audience and, you know, we really don't. Both sides are players on the same stage. And they're both performing to keep us amused and distracted. And I think there's a lot of people who are thinking just that. A lot of people are coming to that conclusion like, okay, I mean, look at, I've said this so many times on our show, the answer in Congress is to have another hearing. When there's an issue or a problem, have another hearing. But the problem with that is they don't get a damn thing done. They don't do anything. Their answer is, well, you know, we're going to fix that. We're going to have a hearing about that, and then we'll roll up our sleeves and we'll ask all the tough questions, and nothing ever happens as a result of those hearings.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, you know, by some, something happens to where the Congress flips Democrat before the election ever gets here?
You know, Bill, I was thinking about that. That's a distinct possibility. The rhino Ken Buck is leaving at the end of the week.
Are there three more rhinos? That's it. Then they got the majority with Kamala.
I heard,
could sit there.
You know, you said three. I heard five. Five more.
Five. You're telling me out of that cast of idiots that there aren't five rhinos?
They've already got like about 18 people who have said they're going to leave Congress at the end of their term. What's to stop them from doing, you know, Ken Buck had said originally that he was going to leave at the end of his term, and then he decided last week, I'm going to leave next week. So,
if they all left at once, it would draw suspicion. So each week somebody could do it, and in 5 weeks, all of a sudden the Democrats have it. I mean, I hear that Pelosi is polishing up her gavel because she wants to, when they take it and they have it again, before then, just in time before the election.
Do we sound cynical today? I think it's because there's so much.
No, I think we sound real. We're not in a rabbit hole, let me tell you. We're two common guys that are not. We might vote. We have an opinion, and that's a legal thing to have. And we're just telling you what we think. And I think,
I mean, are you tired of double standards? I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm very tired about double standards. When I was in school, in high school and junior high school, they told us we had one legal system and everybody has to follow the laws. We don't have that.
Okay, let me just point out something that I read the other day. And it was in regards to the Supreme Court decision, you know. And yeah. It was a lefty that was saying, well, you know, the Supreme Court made a mistake. They didn't have a good interpretation of the law. And then somebody in news sat there and said, well, you know, I actually agree with you because, you know, unlike them and a lot of mainstream people out there, they don't speak legal language, which we do. Legal language. And, you know, I remember being involved in some cases, mm-hmm. you know, the lead attorney coming in, you know, always saying, remember, you know, it's theater of the courtroom. You know, that you are in there, you're telling a story, quote unquote, story.
Sure.
It doesn't matter the facts that lie, it's what you say.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, and I am the director of this play. And I always took that as odd. And again, legal talk. So what you see and what you hear may not be, but it's all there to formulate
in
a direction I want you to go. We're in an audience.
I looked at Donald Trump's situation, right? They're attacking him for doing things like the documents that were in his place at Mar-a-Lago. And they are giving Joe Biden a pass about the documents that were in a bunch of cardboard boxes in his garage next to his Corvette, and then also in the Penn Biden Center, and then also, by the way, in his Virginia mansion, all over the place, and also, I believe, in Chinatown in
New York. And while he wasn't the president.
Yeah, and he got all this stuff when he was a senator, when he was not even vice president.
Well, I read something
else. You know what he told his ghostwriter?
What?
He said, shh, I'm not supposed to have this. He said that, and this was testified to by her.
But, you know, he's in a place of power right now. Like Ms. Cannon sat there and said, Cannon said that Trump has these protectional rights, and he had the right to take those documents because he was the president, okay? Mm-hmm. But now there's another case that you'll probably bring up that somebody talked about, and there's a certain immunity thing that's going out there. And I didn't know this, but Biden, with the stroke of a pen, can take away immunity.
Well, all I can tell you is this.
And even though Biden's dirty, I mean, he's getting the pass from Congress.
If you listened the day before yesterday, Cannon came down with a ruling. She summarily dismissed one of the motions. She summarily dismissed one of the motions, and the media jumped on it like it was the only motion. They jumped in it like, oh, well, Trump lost that in the Miami courtroom in the federal courtroom in Miami. It's gone.
She gave him something to talk about. That was it.
But that's exactly right. It was the weakest of the motions that she just dismissed. But the left jumped in it like, we beat Trump. We beat Trump. He's done in Miami. That's not the case. There are other motions that she's considering.
You ever been to a football game?
Yeah, many times. You know, I played football. Yeah, right.
But okay, the sidelines. Not every team has it. Like, everybody goes cheerleaders. Oh, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, look at them, because they made sure that they were sexy, sexy outfits, and they had to go through a certain criteria. Not every team has a cheerleader. Now, in if you're a candidate, your cheerleading section is the news. They're the cheerleaders, and they're the cheerleaders for the blue team.
That's true. That's true.
The blue team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you could be losing 28-0, but your team scores a field goal. Boy, you would hear those cheerleaders jump up. Woohoo! You know, hey, girls, did you see that there's only, you know, 40 seconds on the clock? What are you going to do to pick up those other points, you know? But that's the Democrats there with their cheerleaders.
Trump has it's selective, the whole process right now. Trump is the guy who's being they're going after him every chance they get. Mm-hmm. Biden, they're giving a pass. Another example, we talked about this yesterday, Peter Navarro. I believe he's supposed to report to jail today. And I could be wrong, maybe I'm off by a day or two. But he has to report to jail for 4 months. For ignoring a subpoena from the January 6th committee. One subpoena. But Hunter Biden ignored two subpoenas, and it's like, oh, well, we'll think about what to do down the road, maybe. Nothing. No one's talking about him going to jail.
And they won't, because I tell you, now that they say that Joe, there's no proof that he was a bad guy. He's a good guy. Kiss his ring. You know, he's holding his hand out with the ring finger. Kiss it. Yeah, I got a ring he can kiss on. But anyway, you know, you've got that going on. Well, now the Hunter case, you're saying, well, Hunter, and we all know that we've seen the films, we've seen the pictures and everything, although the left still tries to cover it up. He's not a good guy. He's not a good player. He's done a lot of he's a bad boy. But do you not think that Joe is going to sit there and say, had enough, it's time, they've let it stretch out long enough, he's pardoned?
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're right, but I do think that our Congress could be a lot more aggressive. They could say, okay, if you're not here for that subpoena on that date, then we're going to send police after you to bring you in, you know. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, but they have relaxed it so much that they've made it sound like it's an invitation, and he has a choice to accept or decline, you know. But in the meantime, the guys on the other side of the fence, the Steve Bannons, the Peter Navarros, they're packing up their toothbrush to head off to prison, you know. I mean, this is not a fair world. I don't care if you're the leftist of the left. You may be saying, well, isn't that great? He's going to jail. Oh, I'm so happy. But the fact of the matter is, if the roles are reversed, let's say hypothetically this time next year, Trump is the guy in charge, and all of a sudden he starts picking on leftists who really don't deserve to be going to jail. He's just going after everybody who looked at him the wrong way, right? You'd be criticizing him, and you'd be crying, and you'd be bemoaning. See, there's got to be balance in our world, in our society. Mm. Our world functions as a balanced society, a fair judicial system. You know, those scales of justice on Lady Justice, they're balanced. They're not leaning one way or the other. They're balanced, and that's what makes us so special. We don't have gulags. We don't throw people into prison for no good reason.
Yes, we do.
Well, we
do. Yes, we do.
Well, I was just
going to January 6th.
That's where I was going with this.
Okay.
I was going to. That's where I was headed. I was saying we don't do this technically. We don't do this in our history books, in our law books.
Well.
But the fact is, we have criminals who are running our system right now. I say criminals. We have guys who have corrupted our system. I mean, you don't do what they're doing right now without being a criminal. You can't be a good guy and pick on innocent people in our society. But they're doing it. And we have got to, at some point, if we are to save this country, we've got to stick our feet in the sand and stop it. We're being dragged toward the abyss right now, the point of no return. You know, it's like tug of war. You know, in tug of war, they put a line between you and the other team, and you don't win unless you pull a guy across the line. Well, we're almost at that line right now, and they're pulling as hard as they can. We've got to put our feet in the ground and stop this. And I'm not talking about revolution, but we've got to slap some of these politicians around. Not physically, I mean, you know, legally. We've got to threaten them with never voting for them again. We've got to threaten them with we're watching you. You know, right now they think they can get away with anything. Go ahead,
Let me tell you something. Let me just put something in perspective. You go, it's Biden on the ballot. It's Trump on the ballot. No. You're on the ballot. It's you that's on the ballot. You've got to figure out who best represents you, because, and even then, I still say we're all actors in a stage play. It's almost like the play, you know, like when you're watching TV, you know, when we come back, you know, scene three, the plot thickens.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all that way. But, you know, you've got to do things based on what your true core values are. And you've got to take a look. You've got to step back. Look at the whole picture.
I mean, Bill,
and see how things are falling into place.
How can any American look at the border, for example, and say, that's okay. It's not okay. Even if you like the idea of illegals coming across, we're killing Americans.
Well, we are the land of immigrants. But then, you know, you look at the border being open, and then you look at the new defense budget because, you know, it's the dismantling of America. And again, back to my play theory, the new military budget for 2025 put out there by Biden, that's it'll be in place, calls for a reduction in military spending. I mean, they'll say, oh, the budget's bigger, but, you know, adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
We're not spending money on upgrading our hardware or maintenance of it. We're downgrading. You know, we're going to a more woke system, and we are disarming ourselves. We've taken down the border.
We're committing suicide as a country.
Well, what we're doing is it's no longer our turn to be the leader of the free world, quote unquote. It's somebody else's turn now. And, you know, we're just setting the stage for the next act. And that's what Biden is
doing. What did Obama say in 2008? We're fundamentally on the brink of fundamentally changing our country as we know it.
And he's setting the stage for the next act, you know, and, you know, there are players that are Democrats. There are players that are Republicans.
Yeah.
And the true patriot Democrats need to step back and say, I'm done with this. And the patriot Republicans need to step back and say, I'm done with this, you know, this show too. And maybe the citizens will wake up because there's a lot of people out there that are doing it for ooh-rah party, you know. Take a look at your party. And again, we pointed out that, you know, how do they know they're going to lose and have or everything is going to happen before it happens, and the second it happens, you get hit with a barrage of emails about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's
like when they have these pop-up demonstrations where they have all pre-printed signs.
Yeah. You can't print 1,000 signs in the course of 15 minutes.
Right.
You just can't do it. They may not have the materials in there. Oh, no. It wasn't 1,000, Bill.
Yeah.
It was 30,000. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can do that on the drop of a hat. I'd call any printer and just say, I just need 500 signs and I need them in an hour.
Well, look what they've done with our position in the Middle East. Our ally, our staunchest ally in the Middle East is Israel, has been for decades. Yet, and Biden, after the October 7th assault by Hamas on those innocent people, on the 17th of October, Biden was over shaking hands with Netanyahu and saying that he was going to stand beside him and he was going to do whatever he could to help him bring this to justice. And then, now, they've turned their back on the Israelis. And you think to yourself, wait a second, what the heck? You know, Biden is the only administration I've ever seen where he's supporting both sides. He's sending relief. He's building a dock. Remember we talked about this at the State of the Union. He's building a mobile portable pier so that he can bring supplies in to Gaza. In the meantime, he supposedly is helping the Israelis. So which is it, Joe? Are you supporting Gaza, or are you supporting Hamas, or are you supporting the Israelis? What's going on?
Well,
anyway,
I don't know. Little sidetrack here, just to kind of soften things up for a minute, and then we'll go right back to it. But you remember that story a week ago? Marjorie Taylor Greene made fun of, I think it was by a UK reporter, about the Jewish space lasers.
Yeah.
Well, turns out now that the UK's Ministry of Defense shared footage of their new weapon, the Dragon Fire Laser. It's mounted in drones, it's cheap, and it's deadly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Dragon Laser.
Yeah. Who was that? Was that Israel that did that?
Well, we talked about Israel. Kingdom's Ministry of Defense said, and this lady that threw the poo-poo story out there, I thought it was from the UK. So her own country has been dabbling and building it and saying, we've got a dragon laser and a drone.
You and I talked about the fact that already, right now, on many of our warships, we have laser weapons.
Well, yeah, but Biden wants to throttle back the money on our warships, our planes, and our technology because, we don't need to, you know, be spending money on that. So, you know, we need to have a more woke force, because I think that's a better defense. We can go out there and wave flowers at him. And
he's amazing. He's truly amazing. You know, he's letting all these illegals come into the country, and you're wondering what's happening to the illegals. I don't know whether you've heard about this. Tyson Foods, a major player in the global meat industry, has come under intense scrutiny over allegations of terminating American workers and then favoring hiring illegals to replace them. Think about that for a second. This is what Joe has done for the American public. Another advantage of having Biden in the Oval Office, he's put people who work for Tyson Foods, some of them for decades, and he's gotten them removed from their jobs so that these strangers with no experience, by the way, are going to come in and handle your, and this is the key that people gloss over, they're going to handle your food. Your food, okay? What I'm saying is that you want experienced people who know how to clean the item, make sure that everything's in a sterile environment, because you're going to consume this stuff. And what Tyson has said, that's not necessary. We're going to remove all of our experienced staff and stick some people in there who came across the desert.
You know, our food and the things that we eat, I saw an interesting story about basically the fruit roll-ups. I didn't say the fruit roll-ups, but it's how they make that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they make that with candy, and they make that with lemon juice. And they make that with basically lacquer. And if you know where the lacquer comes from, number one, if you look at the footage of where it's coming from India. And it's a little insect. It's like a little tick or whatever. And it's a lack something or other, but it takes like a million of these to produce only so much lacquer. But they're insects on a tree. And they lay their eggs, and the females then eat the sap of the tree, and then they secrete it. And then
they refine the sap? They essentially refine the sap.
But it's, with probably dead stuff in it and everything else. But it's from like a tick, and it's a crustacean. And they scrape it off the branches that they do, and then they boil it down, they refine it, they roll it, and they have big rollers. And this is like in a third world place in India where they make it and where it all comes from. And then you see a guy sitting there, it looks like a pair of baggy, tidy whities that are really loose, and that's all he's wearing. He's sweating. It's a sweatshop. And he's sitting there, and they roll out the big rolls, and then he picks it up with his dirty hands and uses his mouth to hold it so he can shake it all out and get it to take it. And then they roll those things up and they ship it off to go make this stuff that you feed your kids and you might like to eat yourself.
Wait a second. You're saying that those roll-ups that we eat, those snacks, those little like cherry roll-ups or strawberry roll-ups or whatever they are, you say they're made with lacquer?
Well, yeah, it's from a bug, yeah. That's how they make that stuff.
I always thought that was like from gelatin or something like that, bone marrow, or it's, you know.
No. Well, they could. Well, that's Jell-O. It's different. Well. You look up India and just write.
No. I'll take your word for it. Probably later on today, we'll look it up just to see. That is interesting, though.
They call it shellac. Hey, which that should tell you.
Would it surprise you that during the pandemic? During the pandemic, when they were selling us on face masks, everybody had to have a face mask. You have to have a sterile face mask on your face, right? I remember seeing pictures of sweatshops in Asia where the face masks were scattered all over a dirty floor, and some people, you know, some kids with dirty outfits on, picking them up with their bare hands, stacking them together, and putting them in a plastic bag and shipping them to the United States. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here?
You know? Because, we've created a situation where somebody can make some quick, easy cash. There was a place right up the street, this part of Pennsylvania, and they jump on every bandwagon. They're a sweatshop.
Yeah.
I mean, they pay the minimum wage, and people go in there. They will they have people in there stitching stuff. That's all they do. And they made the mask, I mean, I saw some of the crew was good, but it was a sweatshop, and they were a mean place to work. There are a lot of places like that that got the contracts, and they went overseas.
I got another thing we should talk about before we end this little program, which has been kind of interesting today.
You missed one story, but go
ahead. They're actually all very interesting, but this has been fun. You probably heard about this. Another United Airlines aircraft, was found with an issue on Friday when a jet that left San Francisco landed at Rogue Valley International in Medford, Oregon. It was missing an external panel. panel. The aircraft was the latest United flight to report an issue, a series of recent problems for travelers. You know, we've had doors blown out. We've had wheels fall off.
You should mention this.
And we've got this here. Now, this just happened yesterday. Now, this is not a brand-new plane, but you have to understand. They're saying, well, it was a 25-year-old plane. But planes go through systematic examination and replacement of parts. So this thing here, a panel blew off. Somebody should have caught that. You know,
well, is this Act 4 to something else? Because talking about the panel, Boeing just now released, I think in the past hours, maybe yesterday, the day before, they issued a warning that the pilot seats in their Boeings, better check them because they might come loose and cause a pilot to move and take the plane into a nosedive. But wasn't that in the news the other day?
A plane went into a nosedive, a 787 Dreamliner, and 50 people were hurt. They pulled it out. But, yeah, they never said what caused it, Bill. It may have been the loose seat.
Okay, so you got to wonder, why are all these problems happening with Boeing, and all of a sudden, now I did see that some of it is a vendor problem, which is not them. It's people that they've contracted with. But I said, you know, something really smells fishy about this. And, you know, going back to the days of the Space Force, where the Dems didn't like that. And Trump, you know, invested in Boeing. As a matter of fact, one of the big things that Democrats didn't like, and if you remember, he was very proud of the fact that he contracted with Boeing to build a new Air Force One.
Yeah.
It would be great for him and other presidents. And it had all new technology, everything. Biden canceled it when he came in, said, no, I don't like the color. I don't like this. I don't like that. So they canceled it. Boeing lost some $15 billion on that deal. And they're saying Trump's the reason. Trump's the reason. And now Boeing has been under attack for a lot of different things going on. As a matter of fact, going back to Space Force and Boeing, Trump put, now she better be careful how she says things, Nikki Haley was appointed to be on the board with Boeing and what was going on. And it seems to be that there's a lot of things that's a vendetta now. You know, Boeing should have never done anything with Trump to where their stock has crashed.
Well,
they
may not
be in existence a year from now. And the CEO of Boeing said, we never should have done.
Well, the other thing I looked
at,
Bill, besides Boeing, is I look at United Airlines, because a lot of these problems have been happening specifically with United. And, you know, this is that woke airline who has a CEO who likes to dress up in drag. He's proud of the fact that he's woke and he likes to be looked at in women's clothing.
But what planes do they fly?
They're
fly
Boeings. Boeings. They're Boeings.
Yeah, because Trump is not woke and Trump is connected to
Boeing. The service is done by the airline. You know, I mean, the regular service. You would have thought that if a panel gets blown off the side of a plane, there had to be something that was hanging that caught the wind, and they should have picked up on this, but they didn't. You know,
I'm just saying the Boeing story has some probably deep roots to it. What
does Trump fly?
He flies 757.
A Boeing 757.
And you know what? He had that before he ever got involved.
Yeah.
As a president or with Boeing, he had that plane, and it's been a good plane all along. And then all of a sudden, once he touches it, everything Trump touches turns to crap. No, since he's been president, the whole thing, and you know, they infiltrate. You know, it wasn't Boeing that did the faulty window thing or whatever blew out the door. There's a company,
Bill,
that's a vendor company.
Bill, how many years has Boeing been making airplanes? Since like 1929 or 1928?
Oh, they're puppies in the business.
But the thing is, for decades, their quality control has been the standard, state of the art. When a plane comes out of Boeing, it's really in top shape. That's what the standard was for years. Now, in the past couple of years, it has been crap. Pardon my French. But you have panels flying out. You have panels being ripped off. We have wheels falling off the undercarriage. And I happen to think that what you are saying may have some credence, that it's not just an accident. There's something more going on here that we can't see.
And they keep tying Trump's name not to these accidents right now, but to Boeing. And to me, what they're doing is using the Boeing plane because Trump did something, you know, recommended a change in the plane, and they didn't like the color of it. So, and they didn't like any. They tore down the border wall and sold off all the parts, and now they say, well, we might have to build a border wall, but Trump did it all wrong. But, you know, I'm going, well, why would they want to bring this on Trump unless they sit there? They have to make a case for public safety and then pin it on Trump. Did they not pin the pandemic on Trump?
But you know what? You know what Biden said about the border wall?
No, there will not be another foot of wall constructed on my administration, number one. Number two, what I'm going to focus on, the fact is that somebody in this group written a lot about the border.
I love how he got lost at the end. The fact is, I'm not going to put another foot of the border wall up. And like now, what you said is true. Now they're talking about adding more of the border wall. The administration.
Yeah. But Biden might get into the White House. But they're sure trying to showcase Kamala because, you know, she will be the person. They probably can't replace her, so they're going to go along with this thing. Well, maybe they will, but it won't be his administration that does. It'll be the next one to fix what Trump broke. And it's all Trump's fault, and he's become the patsy of he's their donkey to pin the tail on.
You know what Carmella said? Carmella said about President Trump.
And that is not all. If he is reelected, the former president has openly said he intends to weaponize the Department of Justice against his enemies.
Unbelievable.
Have you ever heard when Kamala is making a point about something that she's, you know, she wants to sell, like, this is terrible? She has that little, if you play it again, listen to the cry in her voice that's right
there.
Well,
let's listen for it.
And that is not all. If he is reelected, the former president has openly said he intends to weaponize the Department of Justice against his enemies.
I kind of heard it, a little wobble, a little quiver in her voice. Yeah.
That was a deliberate quibble because she wants you to think that she cares and she's worried about your safety. No, she's covering her butt if he gets in there. That's what she's worried about. But this is about you, and if we let him get in, I can't protect you anymore.
One more thing. You probably heard that Don Lemon was fired just after he was hired by Elon Musk. I got to read you this. Don Lemon demanded the sun, the moon, and the stars from the SpaceX head, Elon Musk, for his new show on X. The ex-CNN anchor sent over an astronomical wish list demands. To Elon Musk during contract talks to host a new show on his new platform, X. And here's what he wanted. He wanted a free Tesla Cybertruck, a $5 million upfront payment on top of the $8 million salary that he already had. He wanted an equity stake in the multi-billion dollar company and the piece de resistance. He wanted the right to approve any changes in X policy as relates to the news content. Meaning, if Tucker wants to do something, well, it would have to go through Don Lemon, too. You know what Elon said? Don't let the door hit you in the...
Tuchus.
Yeah.
Tuchus on the way out. You heard about Pence, you know, talking about...
I have that, Bill. You want me? Yeah, I have that.
Oh, you got the audio?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, let's hear the guy before we punch him in the throat.
Well, I should press the right button before I do it, shouldn't I? Yes.
Let me ask you this. We have not spoken since former President Trump sewed up the nomination, which he did earlier this week. Mm-hmm. And he has received endorsements from some of the people who were running against him. But we have not heard from you. Will you be endorsing your former president? You were on the ticket with him last time around.
Well, Martha, I appreciate the question. And it should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year. Look, I'm incredibly proud of the record of our administration. It was a conservative record that made America more prosperous, more secure, and saw conservatives appointed to our courts in a more peaceful world. That being said, during my presidential campaign, I made it clear that there were profound differences between me and President Trump on a range of issues, and not just our difference on my constitutional duties that I exercised on January the 6th. I mean, as I have watched his candidacy unfold, I've seen him walking away from our commitment to confronting the national debt. I've seen him starting to shy away from a commitment to the sanctity of human life. And this last week is his reversal on getting tough on China and supporting our administration's effort to force a sale of ByteDance TikTok.
Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he had that reversal on that before we go, sir?
Well, I can't speculate on it. But what I can tell you is that in each of these cases, Donald Trump is pursuing and articulating an agenda that is at odds with the conservative agenda that we governed on during our 4 years. And that's why I cannot in good conscience endorse Donald Trump.
In good conscience. Yeah. You know, with a friend like that, who needs enemies, right? I mean,
yeah, Rumble may buy TikTok. There's somebody else that said that they were looking for support to help buy TikTok. And, you know, you may not like TikTok, but the simple fact is we have no business dictating what foreign country can do business here. And you know, people seem to like it. And yeah, it is a platform where you talk about freedom. You have freedom to talk about anything on there. So, you know, I back Trump on this, no matter what your feeling is.
Getting back to Pence, I find him, you know, this is a guy, by the way, who would have been
a distraction from
who would have been a pimple on the derriere of politics if it wasn't for Trump. He would have been an also-ran representative from Indiana if it wasn't for the fact that Trump reached down and grabbed hold of him and made him his vice president. Suddenly, this big feeling clown is important. I mean, you listen to him talk. Well, I'm glad you asked me that important question, Martha. By the way, while he's saying this, his mind is going a mile a minute to think of an appropriate politically correct answer. You know,
he always tries to lay claim to, in a subtle way, that he was really the man behind all the conservative efforts.
That's right.
Trump, he got in, but I
kept him on the straight and narrow.
Kept him on the straight and narrow.
You know why didn't? You know why he's not endorsing him? No one said this. No one's he's not endorsing Trump because Trump's not going to have him as the vice president. Trump doesn't. I would think that his non-endorsement bill is a badge of honor for Trump.
Yeah, it is. And who is he going to vote for? They should have asked that. Well, then who
she actually she does. I have another audio clip, but we don't need to play it.
Do it real quick.
You want me to play it?
Sure. And then I have one last thing that I'll throw out there.
Okay, listen.
I got 2 seconds, but who are you going to vote for in November?
Well, like most Americans, I'm going to keep my vote to myself. But
would you vote for President Biden?
I would never vote for Joe Biden. But how I vote when that curtain closes is that'll be for me. But
are you looking for a third party emergent?
No, look. What I can tell you is that where I'm going to spend my energies is on making sure that my fellow Republicans, independents, and many, many Democrats around the country know that it is a commitment to limited government in the Constitution, a commitment to a strong defense and American leadership in the world, a commitment to traditional values that's always made this country prosperous and free, and I'm going to advocate for
You're
that.
You're not going to run as a third-party candidate of any kind, are you, sir? Or are you?
I'm a Republican, Martha.
All right. Vice President Pence, thank you very much. Always good to talk to you, sir.
You know, there's a guy who I still believe this. He, in his mind, thinks, I'm going to be president one day. People really love me. I'm going to be president.
I have a weird third idea plot, but
Well, go ahead. I'm just saying,
you know, he's almost set up Act 3 or Act 4. You know, there's still a lot of time between now and the election, and there's still a chance that they find a way to derail the Trump train.
He's already saying, like, to your point, he said, you heard him, Trump is turning his back on conservative values. Doing things that we in the first administration.
So could we have a Pence-Haley ticket?
Oh, no. No. Well, first of all, they haven't got the what do you call it, delegates, so that's not going to happen.
Well, Trump's got to go through and get the delegates.
And he just said he's never going to be an independent, no third party for him.
I didn't say independent. Let's say you get Trump gets the delegates, but for some reason Trump can't run now.
Well, from everything I've heard, unless he's physically injured or something like that, incapacitated.
Well, this is modern history, and strange things have happened to people in strange ways.
Wow. Well, I do think that this. I look at the masses of people. There'll be another Trump rally today, at 3:00.
Well, you got to be careful how you say that, because the Democrats will say, "Oh, you see, it was an insurrection."
No, there'll be a Trump rally today. There will be probably 50,000 people at this rally today. One of numerous rallies he's already had, of numerous rallies he's going to have. There's a lot of people out there who are going to be really upset if they do anything to hurt their candidate.
Last time he had the numbers, and we know that, and he has them this time even more so. One last thing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was key in what happened in Georgia, where Trump made the infamous phone call. You know, I need to find 11,000 votes.
Yeah, perfect call, he called it.
All right. Kevin Newsom sends out message
to you
find
mean Gavin? Gavin Newsom.
I always want to call him Kevin. Gavin Newsom.
So his parents
sends
did
out
too.
Gavin Newsom sends out message to find lost Democrat ballots because Proposition 1 is failing. He's looking for lost ballots.
Bill, you don't understand. It's completely natural and normal for him to do that because he's a Democrat. And Democrats
can do
that.
See, I don't understand. I don't speak Democrat talk.
You got to get it together, Bill.
No, I don't want to get it together on that. To me, he's doing the same thing that they accuse Trump of, but it's okay. Double standard, baby. Double standard, and that's all there is to it.
He's got a D and Trump doesn't. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So
I think we've just about done it, my friend. It's been an interesting program. It didn't go anywhere near where we had planned it, but...
Plan it?
Well, in my head, I kind of had an idea where we were going to go, and we didn't go there. We went in our own... We got in our own little groove and...
We could do a second show.
No, I'm done for the weekend. I need some time to breathe. If you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, jimandbill@mail.com, and I don't know.
I think you're done. I think we're all done.
Yeah, I think that's it. Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.